I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Courtney DeRonde. She is the CEO of Forge Financial and Management Consulting. She's also the creator of the Simple Scale Up System. She helps businesses and nonprofit leaders use proven systems to take charge of their personal and organizational development so they can fulfill their purpose and lead their organizations to do the same. Courtney is an author. Her book's coming out June 1st. Make sure you check this out. It's called Planning to Scale, an annual process to narrow your focus and clear your company's path to growth. Courtney, welcome.
Hey, Craig, thanks so much for having me.
I've been looking forward to this. It's, my team reviews all the pitches. You know, everybody, I get pitched daily. You know, people wanting to come on the podcast. I'm like, you're talking to the wrong person. But when they briefed me on what you're doing, I looked over, I was really excited. I was like, I've been looking forward to this conversation. You know, and I think if I understand correctly, one of the problems that you solve is businesses scaling. You know, and so many businesses, they reach a certain point and then things get all jammed up and then they struggle. You help them fix that.
We do. We work with businesses that are already established and successful, and the success and the growth they've had, it creates new complexity, and they often get stuck because it's like they've reached a new level. And they have more they want to do, but the things that they did to get to where they are don't seem to be working anymore. And so what we do is help the leader scale themselves and the organization. There are two transformations that have to happen, the leader and the business.
Well, and one of the things I heard you say in that is you help businesses that are already successful.
Yes.
You know, one of my sobering realizations years ago was I'm not a new product guy. I'm not Steve Jobs. I'm not good. I can't help people. You know, people come to me, "Hey, can you help me prove out this idea and get launched?" And I had to realize that's not my skill set. That's if you have something that, you know, a proven business that you've proven that people will buy what you have, I can help you get to the next level, but don't come to me with some idea. I'm just not good at figuring out, is this the right thing?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, startup and scale up are completely different. They are different challenges, different things that you focus on. And the things that you have to focus on in the scale up phase, when you're already established, you're already successful, you have your product, you have your customers. What's happening now is that you have more and more customers and you have more and more employees, and those create new challenges. And sometimes it can be disorienting for leaders and business owners because they've worked so hard to grow and create this success, and then they get it and it feels heavy. It feels disorienting. And I come across so many people, I've been there myself, where you think, maybe this isn't worth it. Maybe I should just quit and give up because it feels so heavy. Because a lot of times the leaders, the owners are, you know, at the center of everything. And there's so much pressure to succeed. But also a lot of times there's so much hope and vision around what's possible that people have more they want to do. And when it's already very heavy, that can feel, you know, challenging and people get stuck and they kind of plateau or hit a ceiling when there's more that they want to do. That's who we work with. So we're really not, focused on the startup phase. Some of our clients, we're working directly with a founder who's been at it for a few years. Sometimes we're working with a second or third generation business owner. There's a lot of legacy there, whether it's family or professional services that just pass from, one generation to the other. But the commonality is they've already achieved success and growth. They're trying to get to the next level.
Well, I imagine it has to be enormously comforting, to when they're in that place to have somebody come along and just say, hey, you know what? We can get through this. We know the path through.
Yes. Yeah. I always feel like people need a belief that it can be better, right? That better is possible. It doesn't have to be this way. They need to be able to believe that. But man, it sure helps if you've got a map and a guide to help you along the way. And that's typically what we do. The guide portion is myself, my co-facilitator, our team, we're guiding people. We've been there. The things that we help people with are the things that I've experienced in my own journey. And then, I would say formalized into ways that I can teach and equip other leaders. But it's thing I don't teach anything I haven't done myself and experienced myself. And the map is really all the tools and the processes that we equip people with. So it's not theory. It's, real lived experience converted into very practical tools that people can apply in their own leadership and in their own businesses.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned something in the green room, about your personal growth path. You had this great idea, you presented this great idea, and there was not applause, cheers, and adulation for your great idea.
Yes. Yeah, so I became the managing partner and CEO of a firm called TDT. It was the firm I joined out of college, and I was appointed the next managing partner after many years there. And one of the very first things I did was propose a vision and a strategy to my fellow partners that we split the firm. So, financially, it made sense. Strategically, it made sense. I had prepared all of this. I had a couple of executive team members who were totally on board with me. And I will never forget. I mean, it was in 2020, so it was all video. We were during COVID, we were all on video. And I shared this, and I could just see people staring back at me like, what are you talking about? Like, they were hurt. They were blindsided. They were not thinking about the strategic or financial implications about this. They were shocked and dismayed from a more relational perspective. It felt like I was just saying, we don't need you anymore. We don't want to be in this together. And it was because I hadn't considered their personalities, the human side of it. I was thinking so analytically,
Yeah.
we'll make more money, you'll make more money, our clients will all be happy, it'll be so much easier. Because what had happened is we'd essentially, through our growth, ended up with two very different business models within the firm. And so it just made sense. We should just, carve out these two business models and quit trying to do two very different things altogether. That was, oh my goodness, just such a big failure right out of the chute. And I thought I should quit. It felt very heavy. And I definitely thought I can't recover from this mistake.
Yeah, I mean, that's the emotions. I'm just thinking through some of the emotions listening to what you say. That's a lot to process. And I would imagine a lot of lost trust in an instant and took. So let's start here. How'd you rebuild the trust?
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. The trust was lost. I mean, a lot of these partners I'd been business partners with for probably a decade. I'd worked with them for a couple of decades almost, and the trust was just instantly gone. And so the first thing I did was first was I had to intentionally decide that I'm not giving up. I had to recognize that I had made a mistake and it was not fatal. And this was, I had an executive coach at the time who helped me see this mistake was so big that I had an opportunity to learn more lessons from it than most people learn in a decade of leadership. So it shifted my perspective. Okay, look at how much you can learn so quickly. And I just had to believe that. I had to think, okay, I can learn from this. And so one of the very first things I did after making that decision that I'm not giving up, I'm not quitting, I'm learning, I started building trust with my partners again. I scheduled regular one-on-ones with them. I listened. I didn't try to explain myself. I tried to learn what their perspective was. I tried to learn what their goals were. We used the Enneagram, we used Colby, we used Clifton Strengths to learn more about each other and our wiring. And I just became a student of who these people are. And I, because that was the biggest thing I was missing. I was not thinking about them as real human people with emotions tied into this. I was just thinking about the logistical, financial, strategic side of this. So I did not gain alignment. And that's what's necessary. You can have the best strategies, the best ideas, but if you can't align other people around them, it won't matter. So I built trust by listening, understanding. And then I would say the third thing I did was I gave up my desire to control the outcome. When I went into that meeting, that Zoom call, I was so confident that this was the answer. And ultimately, I had to decide, I'm not confident that is the answer. I am confident that I want to be a leader who listens, who aligns, and whatever outcome that leads to, I'm going to accept it. If I can look back and say, I led well through this, that will be a win. It's not a matter of whether or not we ever split or not. So I just gave up my hold on controlling the outcome, and it made all the difference in the world.
One thing I noticed during COVID, I live in Texas, and about a year into the pandemic, I noticed people at the grocery store would park literally right in front of the front door where the road is. And they would like wait for their family to come out of the store and they'd load up groceries. And it shocked me because it was rude behavior. And here in Texas, folks are heavily armed. We're usually more polite and we don't do things like that. And it irritated me. But once I got over being irritated, I was like, okay, why is this happening? And I realized for the last year, people have lost control. They've lost a sense of autonomy. And they're just acting out. And sure enough, as soon as the pandemic, as soon as the lockdowns lifted, that quit happening. It's amazing how badly people can respond when you try to take control of their decisions.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And I think people, one of the main things was that was hurtful for me in this situation was that people misinterpreted my intent. And but I was like, rightfully so. I didn't do the work to communicate and align the way I should. That was just such a gift for me to be able to learn that at that point and was able to rebuild trust. About 18 months later, I came to them with two visions, one where we move forward together and one where we split.
You gave them
And we,
control. You gave them their
yes.
autonomy back.
Yes, and I genuinely was completely fine with either one. I was not tied to we have to split. I worked out two different visions with two different strategies, and I was fine with either one. And the vote was unanimous to split
Wow.
because it was the right strategy. It was the right vision, but
Yeah.
I had not approached the alignment properly. And if you don't have alignment, there's no way you can follow through and implement your plans. Following through and implementing your plans is hard enough when you are aligned. But if you don't have alignment, there's no way. We on that first time, we didn't even get to a vote. We didn't even call for a vote. It was so
Yeah.
clear that this was not going to fly. But then there we were. And so, yeah, it within 2 years, we were actually split. So, we did that vote 18 months later, and about 6, 7 months later, all the agreements were signed and we split. And because it was the right vision, it was the right strategy ultimately for us, and we had just finally aligned around it. But that has shaped my leadership and perspective so
Yeah.
much that it really was a gift. I'm so grateful that I had a coach who could help shift my perspective in that moment, because it would have been easy to give up.
What a valuable person in your life at the right time.
Absolutely.
You know, one of my sayings I tell people, I said, you know, Michael Jordan didn't have a single coach. He had a team of coaches.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most naturally gifted athletes of our lifetime knew he couldn't do it alone. He needed a coach. He needed a team of coaches in his life. And because of that team, he was, you know, he will forever be legendary in what he did in his craft.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great point. It can be easy to think that people who are successful, they're just born that way, or they just work hard, or they do it. And I think the people that have the most success are those who are leaning on other guides, other coaches, people who have been there before, people who have different perspectives, who can help you to grow as well. And so I think that's just such a valuable lesson. And we do group coaching. So we have a group coaching program called Scaling Leader, but we encourage all of our clients to have a one-on-one coach as well. We have affiliate coaches that do that kind of work, where they do one-on-one, not group. We do group coaching, and we affiliate with them because group coaching is valuable. You get the community, the connection. We've got a curriculum that's driving it. And then they leverage one-on-one coaching in between our quarterly sessions to help them in the more granular day-to-day stuff with their coach, implementing what they've learned. And so coaching, I have received so much value in my career from coaches, and we encourage our clients to take that perspective of as well.
Absolutely. And there's one thing I want to make sure we don't miss. One of the elements that you said, one of the key elements in rebuilding that trust was listening. I think we should never underestimate the power of listening. It's when people feel heard and understood, it drops so many barriers to whatever's next.
Absolutely. And I learned so much by listening.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always things that I agreed with, but at least I understood where they
Yeah.
were coming from. And it helped shape the way I worked towards alignment, whether it was together or separate. It shaped so much.
Well, there's a fellow that I'm pretty sure is from Iowa. His name's Chris Voss. And he wrote a book, Never Split the Difference.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a masterpiece on the art of persuasive listening. But he uses it, you know, the subtitle of the book is How to Negotiate as If Your Life Depends on It. You know, he was an FBI hostage and negotiator. And he said, yeah, he makes jokes on stage. He's a funny guy, but he talks about how, you know what, anything that we're applying in this book, you can apply in the home. And it's not manipulative. It's not manipulative when you are truly trying to understand where somebody is coming from.
Yes, I agree. And one of the main tools that helped me with this was the Kolbe, and the Enneagram. I think I mentioned those assessments that help understand how people think, feel, take action, not to manipulate, but to understand. And so I even I had before I went into that session to present, these two different visions, I had mocked up this whole slide deck, one slide per partner, that said their wiring, their motivation, their Kolbe, their goals as I saw them going forward from the firm, from what I understood. And I met with each of them and I said, okay, based on all the conversations we've had in the last 18 months, here's what I know about who you are, how you think, how you feel, how you take action from your assessments. And here's what I believe your goals are going forward. This is what's important to you. This is what matters to you. Does this align with what you believe? Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything I'm misunderstanding? I did that systematically, one by one, with each of my partners. There were eight of us, counting me. When we met, I shared that with everybody. I said, this is who we are. This is how we make decisions instinctively. This is what our goals are. As we go forward, we need to leverage this information to make it easier to collaborate and to make decisions, to play to each other's strengths, and to understand. And that information for me and for all of us was incredibly valuable as we negotiated. Once we agreed, the rest of that time was all spent negotiating and, agreeing on deals and which clients go with this firm and which, team members go with this firm and all of these different things that had to be decided. And we were able to keep going back to this is what we said was important. This is how I know you take action. When you react that way, I know it's because you're wired to think of the worst case scenario. So I'm not going to take it personally. I'm going to help you understand that we've already thought of these things. And so I think it's so valuable to have what we call human intelligence, this understanding of people that for me, I'm a CPA. I have an accounting degree. I've been, running an accounting firm that we've added management consulting to that. But I spent a ton of my professional career working with numbers. And one of the biggest things I understand now is that we don't work with numbers. We work with people. All those numbers represent different people, their goals, their visions, their teams, their aspirations, their challenges. We don't work with numbers. We work with people. And that creates a whole nother dimension of leadership.
Wow. I was getting so excited as you were saying that, and I almost responded and I thought, no, I'm gonna hold off because, by the way, you'll get access to the full episode like immediately to download and use any way that you want. What you just said, you need to clip and put out there. That is so powerful.
Thank you.
That is just so incredibly powerful. Yeah, I mean, my training, my formal training is, engineering. I have a master's degree in electrical engineering. And yeah, I've stepped on the rake a few times thinking it's about the facts, it's about the data. It's not. I mean, ultimately, yes, we live in a physical world that are guided by the rules of physics, but we still have to interact with people in the process.
And it's not that the numbers don't matter. It's not that those, different things don't matter. But man, if you only focus on that and forget the real humans that are involved, you missed so much of it. We have, as you come into our office, there is a wall and it says, we don't just work with numbers. And it's got photos of our clients so that every day when our team walks in, they're reminded, this is what we do. We work for these people, helping them achieve what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
It's not just the numbers.
Well, let's talk about what you do because I'm still a little bit confused. I mean, I love everything you've just said, but what do you do?
So we're a financial and management consulting company. So on the finance side, we have CPAs, accountants, and advisors who provide outsourced controller, CFO, and bookkeeping services. We have an audit team who provides external financial reporting. So for companies and organizations that need audited financial statements, we have a team that does that kind of work. And then we have a tax team that does tax planning, tax consulting, tax preparation for those clients. So our tax team only works on the tax work for our audit clients and our outsourced accounting clients. So we don't have that. That was really essentially as we left TDT and became Forge after that split. We left TDT with a very heavy tax focus practice. That was one of the things that we were getting away from, was doing tax only as an add-on service for clients that we're working with in much bigger relationships all year long as CFO, controller, bookkeeping solution. or were their audit firm. So that's the financial side of things. The management consulting side of things is really helping those same types of clients, but beyond finance. So the money tells the story of what's happening in the business. And if we do our job right on the financial side, we can see what's happening in the organization through the lens of the money. But all that does is uncover decisions that have to be made, changes that have to be executed, leadership that has to be, done. And oftentimes we found that our clients, the more visibility they got on the money, the more stuck they got with, well, what do I do then? This points to a productivity issue. This points to a leadership decision. This points to human intelligence. This, and they needed more support. And how do we actually take action on these financial insights that we're getting? And so I created our own proprietary framework. It's called the Simple Scale-Up System. It's a set of principles and tools that we deliver through our flagship coaching program called Scaling Leader. I do some private consulting, some one-on-one coaching using those same tools, but that's very limited because it's, based on my capacity. And so primarily those services are delivered through Scaling Leader, where we're working with leaders. They join us, quarter after quarter for workshops where we are systematically helping them to solve the problems that leaders face when they are successful, and that success is creating complexity, and now they need to figure out, what things should I be focused on based on my gifts and strengths? What should I be doing? Or how do I get all of this done? How do I manage my focus and my energy? What numbers should I be looking at? What reports should I be looking at? How do I actually delegate and trust someone to do these things for me without sacrificing our, client deliverables or our brand or any, just all these different things. I pull them together, the different tools and ideas, into workshops that we teach 2 or 3 days each quarter that solve those problems. And then those leaders, while we're in the workshop, they're using the tools, installing those things into their system. So it's not a conference. They're not coming to listen and receive and go home with a bunch of homework. They're actually coming and doing working sessions while I'm there, and we've got other coaches there to help answer their questions and guide them through.
Now, there's a lot of people listening. They're going to say, I don't have a couple of days a quarter to give up. That just, I can't pull out. What would be your response to those?
Yeah, I'd say you're probably someone who needs it the most if that's what you feel, because what and I get that. I understand that. But what we have found is that when leaders intentionally step away from the day-to-day responsibilities of their business and their personal life and insert themselves into a 2-day workshop that is hands-on, they get more done in those 2 days than most people get done if they try to do something themselves or do something virtually, because it's a different level of focus and a different level of commitment. And so one of the things that our clients have told us that is the most valuable is that they have created this rhythm where they show up every quarter. Some of my clients don't even pay attention to what topic we're teaching. They just show up and trust that whatever it is we're going to tell them about or teach them about, whatever they're going to do, is going to be relevant and helpful, because we've earned that, through our content. They're not deciding, do I come this quarter based on what you're talking about? They have established the rhythm of focusing on the business, their leadership, their ability to scale and install systems every single quarter. And so it's just become a rhythm, something they've automated about their growth and leadership. They don't even think about it. They just show up. And I think one of the biggest, reasons we've got that trust and that transformation is because it is very hands-on. We could teach all the sessions in a day. And it can be tempting to do that because you get the response, like you said, like, I don't have 2 days to come, to travel and do that. Because by the time you travel, maybe you're gone for, part of 2 other days to get there and to get home. But one of the things that I knew from my experience as a leader and a business owner and a learner, someone who's invested in my own, coaching and growth and development, is it can be really disheartening to invest in training and programs and coaching and feel like you never implement what you learn. And so we just intentionally decided we're going to take a day of content, we're going to teach it over 2 days because we're going to give them time over after each teaching session to actually use the tools. And so when they go home, they're not doing homework. They're doing cascading to their other leaders an installation of the what they've learned and started in the workshop.
Well, I think the other thing that probably happens is when they get out of their normal environment and they get in a different environment, it's enough of a pattern disruption that opens their mind up to new ideas.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We won't even offer a virtual attendance option because I just know people won't get the same value from it. It might be more convenient in theory, but if you can't actually metabolize what you learned and implement what you learned, it won't feel as valuable. The other thing is leadership, business ownership. It can be isolating. You know, a lot of us have, you know, friends, family members who are not business owners. They don't understand some of the things that we face. So if you can get yourself in an environment every quarter with other people who understand and who are navigating those same challenges, it can be a very valuable community to establish as well. So that's the other benefit that comes from being in person over a couple of days. We facilitate dinners that they can, you know, get connected with each other. And of course, there's time for lunch and breaks. And so just a lot of relationships that get established because you've got like-minded people who are dealing with similar challenges. And some of the feedback we get is it's just so helpful to know that I'm not the only one experiencing these challenges. And these are all successful people. These are established businesses. And so to see like, oh man, these people, you know, they've got a, you know, $10 million business, or they've got a $3 million business, or they've got a $50 million business, and they have some of these same challenges too. Okay, this is just what happens when things get more complex. This isn't something that I messed up. This is something I need to learn how to deal with.
Wow. Courtney, this is amazing. I'd love to go for another hour, but we can't. But I love what you're doing. How can people reach you?
Thank you, Craig. So, well, I am on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect on LinkedIn, Courtney Durandi on LinkedIn. I'm very pretty active there. But I would love for you to check out planningtoscalebook.com. So that's where you can learn more about the book. That is our strategic planning process that was born out of the workshop that we do within our Scaling Leader program. And so planningtoscalebook.com is where you can learn more about that as well.
And that's launching on June 1st.
Launching on June 1st, and there will be access to all the tools that we teach and use in the workshops. You can download them after you purchase the book. There will be a URL and a code that you can use to access all those tools and start applying them yourself.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thanks so much for having me, Craig. I appreciate the conversation.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.